Verily all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is due to Him and none other. We praise Him and we seek His forgiveness and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and final messenger. I remind myself and you of the blessed verse in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye who believe, fear Allah the fear that He is most deserving of you, and do not die unless you are in the state of al-Islam. And as to what follows, once again, I feel great happiness to sit amongst my brothers in North Carolina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His mercy and His forgiveness upon us, and allow us to be from those who shall be from the successful ones on the day where it truly matters, the day of Qiyamah, where it shall be decided either Jannah or either the fire. May Allah make us from the people of the right hand, the people of Al-Jannah. Allahumma Ameen. Our topic with you today that has been chosen for us is given the title of the effect of ignorance upon the Ummah. And I begin by giving you a quote from some of the great scholars of the past where they say, خَيْرُ الْمَوَاهِبِ الْعَقْلِ وَشَرُّ الْمَصَائِبِ الْجَهْلِ. The most blessed thing that a person can be given by Allah that comes naturally to him is intelligence. And the worst thing that you can be given is ignorance. Is not trying to understand the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the orders of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously there are many, many, many great evil effects that if we were to sit here from now till the day of judgment, we would not eclipse them all. We would not have the time to speak of them all. So therefore, I shall summarize to you four main effects that ignorance has produced in the Ummah, whether in the past or in the present or in the future. We begin by saying from the greatest evil effects of ignorance upon the Ummah is al-ikhtilaf, disagreeing with one another. Second, intishar al-dalal, misguidance being spread out through the common people. Third, al-ghafla, being in a state of heedlessness, forgetfulness of Allah's orders to us. Fourth, and finally, nisyan halawat al-iman, forgetting the sweetness of true faith. Forgetting the sweetness of true faith. We begin with the first of these important points, which is al-ikhtilaf, disagreeing with one another. We begin by reciting from Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Do not, O Muslim, allow yourself to divide and to disagree with one another as those who have been given the verses before you have done. For surely for them is a great punishment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers by saying, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. On the day of judgment, some people will have their faces brightened, enlightened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And others shall have their faces darkened because of the evil of their sin. And we will bring you the tafsir of this ayah. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. As for those whose faces became darkened, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Did you return to disbelief after you had entered into belief? فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. So taste the torment of punishment and the painful punishment for that which you used to earn. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بْيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. But as for those whose faces shall be brightened on the Day of Judgment, فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, they shall enter into the mercy of Allah, the Jannah, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, living in it for eternity. Our great Mufassir, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu wa ardaah, says, تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْإِئْتِلَافِ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ. The ones whose faces shall be brightened are the ones who come together upon the sunnah in agreement. Agreeing to this. No disagreement, because it's the sunnah. And the faces of those who shall be darkened are those of the ones who disagreed because of the bid'ah, because of entering into innovation and opposing the sunnah. But we must clarify what is ikhtilaf, so that we do not mix your mind. Ikhtilaf mainly is of two types. Ikhtilafun fil usul, to disagree in principles of Islam, فَهَذَا كُلُّهُ شَرٌ. This is all evil and leads to disbelief. No one can disagree and say that salah is, that the compulsory salah is 6 instead of 5. No one can say it's 4. So therefore there are principles that no one can ever disagree in. The second type of disagreement is the ikhtilaf in al-furu'ah. Disagreeing in secondary principles. And this is permitted for the Muslim person. And we must understand that we are from different nations, different tongues, different backgrounds, different experiences. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom has allowed us to disagree in these secondary principles, so that we do not quarrel in a way that will lead us to disbelief. Because many people, they have in their mind, for example, that this is the sunnah and everything else isn't. But in fact, the sunnah may be of different ways to be implemented. A quick example, salah. You may place your hands here, sunnah. You may place your hands a little further down, sunnah. You may place your hands a little further down, sunnah. All of it is permitted. Ikhtilaf in al-furu'ah. And from here on in, when we are speaking of al-ikhtilaf, to prove to you that we are permitted to disagree within the bounds of al-Islam, we will speak about why. Why people disagree. لماذا الاختلاف? Why do we disagree with one another? Why has Allah allowed us this leniency in disagreeing with one another? First, tabi'atul bashar. Because we're human beings. From those who are sitting with us here today, you will not find two identical people in their feelings, experiences, emotions, thought patterns. Never. Who will disagree in every single thing. It's impossible. You will disagree with your wife. You will disagree with your son. He will disagree with you. Because you cannot always agree. So Allah has allowed this. To disagree in secondary principles. Also, reasons why a person may disagree. This is in understanding why ignorance, as I will tie it in, is a major harm to the ummah. Disagreeing may also happen because a person may not know what you know. Many people fall into error when they give nasiha. We hear of this and see it every day. He will come to the person and he will say, why do you not have a beard? Why have you trimmed your beard? Why have you done this? Not knowing or comprehending that this brother may not have understood or have received the same knowledge that he has. He has not received the dalil. And the first of those who have disagreed before us were the Sahaba. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. After the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the death of Umar. He is the Khalifa. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah in al-Yaman tells him, Umar, we need you to come and visit us. So Umar prepares to travel. And then he hears news that in al-Yaman al-Ta'un, the plague has begun to spread. Umar ibn al-Khattab did not know the hadith, although you and I may say, the hadith is in Bukhari. Umar had not heard the hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to the Sahaba, should I go or should I remain? Finally, he took his own ijtihad and decision and said, I shall remain in al-Madinah and I shall not go to al-Yaman. To the point that Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu sent him a letter and told him, أَتَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ. Do you think that you can escape the divine decree of Allah? Are you afraid to die, Umar? This is why you have not come? Strong words. And then one of the Sahaba came and said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. I heard the Messenger say, if the plague enters into a city, let no one enter into it. And let no one exit from it. So Umar sent back to Abu Ubaidah and told him, أَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ إِلَى قَدَرِ اللَّهِ. Yes, I flee from the decree of Allah to the true decree of Allah. Disagreeing. Why will a person disagree? النسيان. Forgetfulness. You may think that you have done something when in fact you have not. And you will quarrel with your spouse. Have you locked the car? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. You go, or she goes downstairs in the car, the doors are open, the trunk is left open, someone has taken the radio. Nisyan, forgetfulness. And the greatest of mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to forget. Even in Salah, as we explained to you, Allah allowed him to forget to teach us how to perfect our prayers after making a mistake in it, as a way of education to the ummah. Another important point is misinterpreting a dalil. عدم فهم المراد بالدليل. I give you an example that is personal to me. In one of the cities we visited, we were traveling. There is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it was noted that after he would pray the fard, he says, I do not perform the tasbih. Okay? And the brother saw me after the salah saying, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. And he came to me and he said, how can you do this? You just told us this hadith. Not having understood that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant, that he does not perform the tasbih, meaning praying sunnah. See the major difference in the understanding of the hadith? Meaning that when he traveled, after praying Salatul Maghrib, he would not pray the two rak'at sunnah. So you took the hadith and you flew with it. Because you read it in a translation of what a person thinks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And you come to your brother and you disagree. Al-ikhtilaf. All of this is a result of not having the correct knowledge. And we spoke to you yesterday about the importance of knowledge, and the importance of gaining knowledge, and the importance of the scholars of Al-Islam. All of this to emphasize to you the point that when a person has limited knowledge and thinks he understands something, or thinks he heard it on a tape, you ask him, where did you hear this? I heard it on a tape, Ya Akhi. Well, who was the speaker? I can't remember. What is this? This is not deen. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he says, Al-Isnadu min ad-deen. Lawla al-Isnad, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Establishing who said from who said is religion. For if it was left open that anyone can speak and say, I heard, everyone would say, I heard such and such and such and such. And there would be no way of validating what is right and what is wrong. So al-ikhtilaf enters into the ummah, leads people to the point, as is narrated by Imam Ibn Qudamah in his beautiful book Al-Mughni, which is a book of the Hanbali fiqh. Not that I'm Hanbali, but I'm explaining to you where he shows to you some of the disagreement. He says that a person was praying, and he entered and prayed in a Hanafi masjid. And in the Hanafi masjid, a person does not raise his hands every time he comes up and down, as we all know. So he would happen to be Shafi'i. So he raised his hand, and the person beside him struck him until he fell over. Ikhtilaf, not understanding, ignorance entering in the ummah. Another example that is put forward, a person enters Mecca, al-Mukarramah, and enters and makes tawaf. And a person comes and asks him, and these are narrated with sahih, authentic narration. A person asks him, which madhab are you? Are you Hanafi? He says, no. Are you Shafi'i? No. Oh, so you're Maliki? No. Hanbali? No. Kafir? Which are you? If it's not from these, what are you? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It came to the point that in Tripoli, Lebanon, every masjid would have four mihrab, four different praying places, where the Hanafi imam would lead the salah, and those who were Hanafis came and prayed behind. 5 minutes later, the Maliki imam would come and go to his mihrab, and the Malikis would pray behind. The Shafi'i came behind him. The Hanbali came behind him. Is this deen? Ikhtilaf entering because of ignorance. This leads to al-dhalal, which is our second point. Misguidance begins to spread throughout the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The Prophet ﷺ ordered in the Quran to list what Allah has deemed haram. He says, Allah says to him, say to them, Ya Muhammad, Allah has deemed haram. حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. To perform fawahish, major things from them, fornication, riba, and others. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. What is openly known in front of the public, and what you yourself may do without anyone seeing you. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And to speak evil, and to perform evil, and to eat evil without truth or righteousness. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ. After listing this, Allah says, and also to disbelieve in Allah by taking partners in Him. مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. That which He did not order you in what He revealed to you. And finally, and that which it is to say about Allah, that which you do not know. People speaking on behalf of Allah. Imagine, a person saying halal. Yes, do it. Should we eat the meat in America? Halal, don't worry. Should we eat the meat in such? Zabiha, not zabiha, oh halal. Without understanding the regulations of the state. State to state differs. Some states, for example, where I'm from, it is the law that they have to slaughter the cow. They have to. Other places, the next province in Canada, it is not the law. All they have to do is drop a spike at the back of the head, so it does not bleed. So state to state, province to province, the regulations differ. But a person may carry it and say, halal, without being sure. And you will not find any of the ulama or any of the true students of knowledge who will give you an open-ended answer. No one's going to say, you come and say, is it halal? And he's going to say, yeah, halal, eat. No. You have to be sure before you speak on behalf of Allah or His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من حدث عني بحديث يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكذبين. كذبين. In this hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, whoever speaks of me and narrates a hadith that he may think, even have an inclination inside him, that it is a lie about me, then he is one of the two liars. He is one of the two liars. The transmitter and the one he heard it from. It's not enough to think, you know that the Prophet said. You must know for certain that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or else this religion would have been gone. But Allah tells you in the Quran, إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Surely we have brought down the reminder, the Quran and the Sunnah, and surely we shall be its protectors. And what Allah shall protect, none shall mess with or disfigure or misguide people through. The Prophet ﷺ also said, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. He, the one who lies about me knowingly, let him be prepared for a seat in the fire, as is also narrated by the Imam Muslim. In order to relax you in our discussion with you, I narrate to you a story that was narrated to me from the mouth of Sheikh Ali Hassan al-Halabi, Hafizahullah, where he says, we were discussing people of ignorance speaking about Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He turned to me and he said, do you know the story of Al-Khinfishar? I told him, this is a word I have not heard. No, ya Shaykh, tell me. He said, Al-Khinfishar is an important story for any student of knowledge to know. There used to be a person who was known to have knowledge. But he was a person whose tongue was loose. He was a machine gun, firing fatwas. Everywhere he went, fatwa, fatwa, fatwa. Halal, halal, halal. Haram, haram, haram. Every question he knew the answer to. The students of knowledge, seeing the musibah, the calamity that could befall the people, said we have to expose him. But look at the way they did it. Learn the methodology of the people of the Sunnah. They gathered together and each of them used the first letter of his name. Ahmed Alif, Hatim Ha, Muhammad Neem. And they took each of their letters and they made the word, and it happened to be Khinfishar. Not a real word. It's a word that each of them made by using the first letter of their name. And they came to the Shaykh as he's sitting on his, you know, in front of the people, and the people are all turned to him. Ya Shaykh, what is Al-Khinfishar? He said, what? He said, the Khinfishar, you must know. Ah, yes, I remember. نَفْسٌ طَيِّبُ الرَّائِحَ. It is a sweet-smelling flower. تَنْبُتُ فِي أَطْرَافِ الْيَمَنِ. But you can only find it in Yemen. Who's going to go to Yemen to look? He's trying to cover his trail. The shu'ara said, the scholars of poetry said, when the camels, from what I remember from the narration of Sheikh Ali, when the camels eat this, their milk is as sweet as honey. And then he came and said, I remember a hadith. And they told him, Ya Kazzab, you liar, such and such is the case. Do not be surprised that a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him to propagate Islam. But when he enters into a point of danger, Allah shall stop him. I give you the example of the Mujahid who fought in the battle. And they came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is narrated in Bukhari. And they told him, there is no one more courageous or deserving of paradise than that man. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, he is from the people of the fire. Sahaba. He's a man who is fighting to what they see with their eyes, Allah and His Prophet. Carrying the sword, killing the mushrikeen. So one of them said, I shall follow him footstep by footstep. Until he saw that this man was struck with a sword. But the wound was not severe. فَاسْتَعْجِلْ فَمَالَ عَلَى سَيْفِهِ. He became hurried. The pain was too much. He killed his own self. So the man returned to the Prophet. صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet has told the truth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُ دِينَهُ. Allah shall give victory to his religion, even by using a fajr. Even in the way that he will allow a fajr to propagate Islam, to spread it and to help it. But Allah in the end shall expose him. Do not be fooled. People come and people go. Islam remains. Never allow yourself to be in the situation where you are always focused on who, not what he says. فَإِنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يُعْرَفُ بِالرِّجَالِ وَلَكِنَّ الرِّجَالَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُعْرَفُونَ بِالْحَقِّ. You don't take truth because so and so said it, even if you know it's false. Even if you know it's false. Not because this imam said, you know it's wrong. The hadith is clear. All of the other imams, the ulama, have shown he had made a mistake. You do not therefore take it, knowing that it is a mistake. For truth is not always taken because of it from such and such a person. But a person may be known for regularly speaking the truth. Important that we understand this qa'idah, that our wala and our bara' is for Allah, not for the shakh, not for the individual. Your love and your hate is not for him, but for what he stands for and says and believes. If it's correct, we love it. If it's wrong, we correct it. For Imam Malik says, everyone we take from and we reject from, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quickly, our third point. One of the great evils that has affected the ummah because of ignorance is al-ghafla. Al-ghafla is a disease from the diseases of the heart. It is heedlessness, neglectfulness, forgetfulness of your duties to Allah. And it comes by not comprehending the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learning about al-Islam. By remaining in a state of ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. Surely the time for mankind to be taken to account is soon. But yet they are turned away in a state of ghafla, heedlessness, forgetfulness, neglectfulness of their duties to Allah. This is what we are in today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes to us, as the scholars explain, أَنَّ الْإِبْتِلَاءَ بِالنَّعِيمِ أَقْصَى وَأَشَدِّ مِنَ الْإِبْتِلَاءِ بِالْضِيقِ وَالْفَقْرِ. The scholars say that Allah, for him to test you by giving you what you want, is harder for you as a test than for Allah to take it from you. Do you know what this means? All of us, alhamdulillah, as we have explained to you in Salatul Jumu'ah, whatever we want to buy, we buy it. You need milk? Go to the store, buy milk. You need eggs? Don't worry about chasing the hen. The eggs are in the supermarket. Right? Instead of taking your red car, you can take the blue one. Don't worry about the make. Sheltered existence. Relative safety. Our only fear is that the police will stop us for not wearing our seatbelt. Huh? True or not? Speak the truth. And we think that because we have all that we possess, that alhamdulillah, all of this is a sign to us that Allah is pleased with us. While inside us we know, for example, you may not pray fajr. You know that your daughters don't wear hijab. You know that your son looks at women. You're not worried about this. You know that your son is intermingling. Right? You leave all of this because you think that Allah has given you wealth, a career, a job, a wife, a husband, children. So Allah is pleased with you. Allah tells you otherwise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the example of those who came before us in Surah Al-An'am. Look at the lesson. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. When the people who came before us forgot the orders that they were supposed to remember and uphold, when they didn't pray, when they didn't fast, when they didn't wear their hijab, when they did not give zakah, what did Allah do as a punishment? فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We open to them the gate of all goodness. Look at the punishment of Allah. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا. Until they are happy. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتًا. We took them to punishment. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Then they turn to regret and sadness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in the hadith which is narrated by Imam al-Bayhaqi with the sanad that is hasan, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُعْطِ الْعَبْدَ مَا يُحِبُّ. If you see Allah gives His servant, a servant or a person, everything he wants, وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ, yet at the same time you notice that this man is doing sins, فَعْلَمْ, no, أَنَّهُ اسْتِدْرَاجٌ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that Allah is slowly, gradually bringing him to severe punishment. The words of whom? Allah. The words of whom? His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, we think of nothing except what we have, material, possession, bank account, clothing you wear. I need to buy a new thawb. Why? So I look nice in the masjid. This is our worry. This is our existence now. This is what we must correct and begin to reflect upon the needs of our other Muslim brothers and sisters, whether they are in this faith or other. You as a Muslim must help your brother and sister wherever they may be. Because they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Al-ghafla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also emphasizes this point by saying, as is narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, he tells us in explaining the verse in Surah Hud, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a person is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's brought to task, and Allah wishes to truly bring him to punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him step by step. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ. Allah allows the oppressor time and time to gradually increase his zulm and oppression. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْ. But when Allah has deemed his time is up, when Allah takes him, he never lets him go. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Such is the seizure of your Lord. When He seizes a people for their sin, His seizure is painful and tormenting. Let not this be our situation. Let this be a wake-up call that we begin to analyze first ourselves, our family, our children. You as a Muslim man, wallahi, your children will come on the Day of Judgment with their hands wrapped around their father. And they shall say to Allah, because they don't want the punishment. They shall come to Allah, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَبِيهِ. Your children will run away from you. They don't care about you. They will come, put their hands to your neck and say, Oh Allah, He did not teach me. He did not order me. He did not forbid me. And what are you going to say? How are you going to answer this claim. You will be the step that your son will climb over to enter the Jannah. Imagine. If your son can put you to jump into the Jannah, he will do so on the Day of Judgment. Don't think that your day of raising him, of suckling him as his mother, of carrying him for all these 9 months and giving birth to him, will help. He will leave you, forget you, from what he will see on this day, and the fear that he will have in his heart. So let us reflect upon this, and know that the major reason of al-ghafla, that the person forgets al-ghaya, that the person forgets his true goal. Everyone has to have a goal. If you're a student, what is your goal in your study? If you're an employee, what's your goal for the day? If you're a factory worker, what's your quota? Everyone has a certain goal, whether it's short or long term. What is the Muslim's goal? It is the same question as asking, what is the purpose of your life? What is your goal? It's the same as saying, why am I a human being created by Allah? One answer, to gain Allah's happiness and pleasure and enter the Jannah. Do everything in your ability to fulfill this goal. This is your job. If you can fulfill it with your family, alhamdulillah, you must strive to bring them nearer to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness, through leniency and strictness. Be a middle course, easy when it needs to be, strict and harsh when need be. Our final point, halawat al-iman. People have forgotten the sweetness of faith. Wallahi, people have forgotten what it means to be a mu'min. What does it feel like to have belief? I want you to remember, if you entered into Islam, remember the day that you found the truth. Remember the day when you knew the Qur'an was the haqq, the truth. Remember that feeling of belief? Think of the month of Ramadan, when you stood up at night, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with love and fear of Him. Think of that feeling. If you have gone to make Umrah or Hajj, think of the feeling of entering into the city of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed as the best place on the face of the earth. Seeing the Kaaba, performing your tawaf, performing the sa'i. What was your feeling? Have you forgotten this feeling? This is a feeling that you must, as an individual and as a community collectively, try to re-establish every hour of the day. Why else do we pray 5 times a day? Why else do we fast once a year, a whole month? And the sunnah, Mondays and Thursdays, 13, 14, and 15. Why? Why do we give zakah and sadaqah? Why do we perform Hajj and Umrah? To constantly rejuvenate and remind us of halawat al-iman, the sweetness of faith. The scholars tell you that the sweetness of faith, when a person truly has it, he can physically taste it in his tongue. You can physically taste it. The true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shahwa, of wanting to pray more. It may be strange, but listen to the statement of the scholar and try to comprehend with our minds that are now have become full of materialism and capitalism. Listen to this statement of the scholar. He said, if the kuffar knew, if the disbelievers knew the sweetness of belief in our hearts when we stand up in prayer at night to Allah, they would enter our land and fight us for this sweetness and not for our land. listen to the word. If they knew the feeling that I had in my heart, they wouldn't want my house, or my wife, or my money, or my land. They would want to kill me to take it from me. This is what halawat al-iman. Something that we have forgotten. And this is why I am here with you. As a reminder, wallahi, to myself, I enjoy greatly to come to a city like this and see my brothers from all these different nationalities sitting together for no other reason than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a great blessing that we are not to tarnish, come together in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that is common to all of us. The oneness of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wish to conclude our discussion with you today with a single hadith. And it is a hadith where Allah, and I say where Allah, describes to us paradise. As is narrated by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Musa ibn Imran, Moses, the son of Aaron, the Prophet and Messenger of Allah, Kaleemullah, the one who spoke to Allah, asked Allah, Ya Rabb, Ma adna ahlul jannati manzila. O Allah, what is the lowest level that a person will receive in paradise? The lowest, the bare minimum that any human being will receive when he is in paradise. قال الله, the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah answered him by saying, هُوَ رَجُلٌ, it will be a man, it won't be a woman who will be the last to enter Jannah. رَجُلٌ يَجِيءُ بَعْدَ أَنْ دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ, shall come after all of the people who have been before him have been admitted to the Jannah. وَقَدْ أَخَذُوا أَخَذَاتِهِمْ وَنَزَلُوا مَنَازِلَهُمْ, and have taken all that they have been promised and have taken their seats and places in paradise. Have taken their places in paradise. So Allah shall tell this person who is the last one to be brought out of the fire through the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah shall tell him, Udkhul al-Jannah. Go enter paradise. Take from it what you wish. Fayadhhab. He shall go, and Allah shall make it seem to him annaha mal'a, that there is no place for him in it. He shall think it's stacked to the fullest. فيرجع. He shall return to Allah and say, يا كيف يا رب قد نزل الناس منازلهم وأخذوا أخذاتهم. The people have entered the Jannah, taken what they, everything in it. There's no homes left, no حور العين, no nothing to drink, nothing to eat, nothing for me. Allah shall make it seem like this to him. So Allah shall tell him, يا عبدي أترضى, my servant, would you be content? Listen to how Allah speaks to His servant, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَطَرْضَ, would you be content? أَن يَكُونَ لَكَ مِثْلُ مُلْكِ مَلِكٍ مِّن مُلُوكِ الدُّنْيَا, would you be content to have the kingdom of the richest king that lived on the earth? What would you and I say? بَلَى, yes, give it, I want it, Allah. فَيَقُولُ لَكَ ذَلِكَ, Allah shall tell him, this is for you. And this hadith is in Muslim. This is for you. وَمِثْلَهُ 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 وَمِثْلَهُ, you have this and add to it the same amount. The same amount. The same amount. The same amount. And on the fifth one, يَقُولُ فِي الْخَامِسَةِ رَبِيْتُ, it is enough, O Allah. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ, Allah shall turn to him and say,